Voice of Minnesota. It's FYI Politics with Brett Johnson, a Thursday afternoon, Thursday edition of the show. Coming up today, more brutal unemployment numbers. Is Nancy Pelosi losing support from moderate Democrats? Also, crazy Republicans running in congressional races that they actually have a chance to win. And I love this one. Do NASA scientists have proof that there is the existence of a parallel universe? The answer might be yes. So we'll get to that towards the end of the show. Joined alongside by Eric Nelson today. Now, Eric, this is my last live show of the week. I'm taking tomorrow off, so I have a pre-recorded show lined up. Do you got any big Memorial Day plans? I suppose a lot of that stuff has gone on hold with the COVID-19 pandemic.
I had no idea it was Memorial Weekend until you just said that.
It's a weird time to have Memorial Day because June 1st happens to fall on a Tuesday, and being that Memorial Day is the last Monday in May, you occasionally run into this where it's really early, where this year Memorial Day is on May 25th. Yeah, that jumped out on me too. In fact, when I was making our producer schedule, I even messed that up when I made the schedule. I was supposed to have Patrick work Memorial Day, thinking that was next weekend. Turns out it's this weekend, so you got stuck working Memorial Day weekend, so you can write all that hate mail over to me.
All right.
Yeah, please
just
do.
Another letter on the pile.
Just another big letter on the pile, but that does happen. What is it, once every 6 or 7 years, depending on if we have a leap year or not, where you'll get these really early Memorial Days. So that is the case, Memorial Day weekend. I'm off tomorrow, but it will be a brand new to you show tomorrow. Have some interviews that I'm working on getting lined up, so make sure you still tune in for that. And I know Matt will be here for a live show tomorrow, unless he somehow puts a surprise on us and recorded a bunch of interviews from home, but I don't think he normally does that. All right, let's get to the news for today. We'll start off with the COVID-19 figures in Minnesota. Unfortunately, we had our largest increase in deaths that were reported in one day. 32 deaths were reported today. That is the most that we've had in a one-day total. 32 more, bringing our overall total to 809. We also have now 18,200 total confirmed cases. 539 of those were newly reported. In terms of previously reported, apparently they had a mistake as they had to remove 9 from the overall caseload. 566 are hospitalized as we speak. That is an increase of 16 from yesterday. And 229 of them are in the ICU, and we've overall conducted 173,556 tests, completing 6,218 of those. So we did end up meeting that goal that Governor Walz had of having at least 5,000 tests being conducted per day during the month of May. So, giving you more details on these 32 newly reported deaths, because that is the largest number of deaths we've had reported in one day, not percentage deaths, but in terms of just the raw overall number of deaths. 28 out of those 32 were in assisted or living or long-term facilities, and 663 of those 809 were in those long-term facilities where Minnesota does not appear to be doing really well with people that are in these long-term facilities, because our death count has actually gone up past Wisconsin, where for a while Wisconsin was ahead of us. We're actually now ahead of Wisconsin, and as you saw with those numbers, a large portion of those have come from people that are in nursing homes or in assisted living facilities. Now, speaking of those, file this under the big whoops category, and this is just unbelievable, but Minnesota State Department of Health officials are apologizing for a bungled COVID-19 testing fiasco that occurred at a St. Paul nursing home that was done by the Minnesota National Guard unit this week. Test samples from 300 residents that were taken, and also staff members at this nursing home, the Episcopal Church home, were ruined because they were not stored in coolers while being transported to the labs at Mayo Clinic in Rochester. I don't know how you could possibly mess that up that much, but if you did listen to that earlier note, these were actually being done, it looks like, by the Minnesota National Guard. So apparently we have such a shortage in terms of healthcare professionals that we're having National Guard people conducting these tests.
And a shortage of coolers, too, apparently.
Yeah, shortage of coolers. But what's frustrating about hearing, well, we have Minnesota National Guard soldiers conducting these tests, the frustrating part is that we do have doctors and nurses that are somehow being laid off from a number of employers around the state. In fact, there was a guy who I was talking to yesterday about possibly running a side gig for a streaming thing who happens to be a doctor, and he just got laid off from his employer. Even though he's a doctor who's been on the front lines, he somehow got laid off. So this doesn't really make any sense that, yeah, we have Minnesota National Guard soldiers that are conducting these COVID tests who are, for the most part, not really trained health professionals. They bungled all of these tests, 300 of them, at the Episcopal Church home over in St. Paul, it looks like. And yet we still have doctors and nurses that are being laid off when they would probably be much more qualified to be conducting these tests. So go figure with that. Also yesterday, as we probably heard, we do have new guidance on how restaurants and bars are going to be reopening in the state. If you didn't hear, outdoor seating will be limited to 50 people for dining in. You won't be able to dine in indoors. You'll only be able to dine on outdoor venues, and the capacity will be 50 people. Now, the Hospitality Minnesota lobby group called the news disappointing that restaurants weren't able to be able to have people dine inside. They were also disappointed that outdoor camping will not be allowed until June 1st, meaning that some of these places could end up missing on Memorial Day.
It does sound like they kind of want to offer them something, but I doubt there's many restaurants that can make this like economically feasible.
Yeah, and there's a number of restaurants that have very limited outdoor seating or no outdoor seating whatsoever. I know there's a few restaurants that are trying to come up with like some makeshift outdoor seating, but even if you make those, you still have to obey social distancing. And if you don't have a patio that's really already in place, how many people are you going to be able to seat in some sort of makeshift setting?
Yeah, an empty parking lot with a giant tent. I don't know what you'd do.
I suppose you could do that. I don't know if I'd really want to eat in a parking lot. I suppose if you spruce that up, maybe it would be a little bit more appealing, but that just seems like kind of a barbecue / picnic thing, not really a traditional dining out experience if you were to have your table be in a parking lot. And then you also have to consider it's kind of a risk, too, for restaurants when you call in staff, because what happens if it rains? Nobody's going to want to eat in the rain, so you could put it potentially have
eat a soggy hamburger in a parking lot
right in the pouring rain or during severe weather. But if you think about that from the restaurant's perspective, that does put them in a tough position, because let's say you call in a whole bunch of wait staff and it ends up raining that day. No one's going to be out there, and you're going to have a bunch of wait staff that are not going to have anything to do. So yeah, it's I don't envy the position that many restaurants are going to be in trying to figure out how to proceed forward. But at least in the short term, I do think it's, even though it is tough on the restaurants, probably not the best idea to be allowing indoor seating quite yet. Maybe you can do that in a few more weeks. But yeah, let's go ahead and see how things go, at least with the outdoor seating. Now, Republican lawmakers were a little upset about Governor Tim Walz's order yesterday, and I actually kind of agree with them on this. So Paul Gazelka and a few other Republican legislators were unhappy with the lack of accommodation for churches or religious groups to hold outdoor services. Their outdoor services are going to be limited to 10 people, and they were saying that it doesn't make any sense that churches are limited to a seating of 10 people outdoors while restaurants can still have 50 people. And I don't often agree with Republicans, but it's tough to make an argument against what they're saying.
I mean, don't see why not. You know, if you have a large park, everyone's spaced out, I don't see why you couldn't have 100 people.
Yeah, and that's the key. If everyone's spaced out, I think you should be absolutely fine doing that. So file that under the category of one of the rare times I actually agree with Republicans. Speaking of another large gathering that could be taking place later this year, that would be the State Fair. There's still no decision yet on whether the state fair is going to be taking place this year, but the state fair board was holding a meeting this morning trying to determine whether they are going to have the fair take place. They weren't expected to make a decision. They're just going to, I guess, have a big discussion about it. And I've been following along on Twitter with some of the Minnesota reporters. There's no word yet on if the state fair is officially canceled, but I would say there's probably at least like a 95% chance they're going to end up canceling this thing. Yeah, how on earth could you possibly hold the state fair? Even if you were to practice social distancing or encourage people to practice social distancing, there's no way on earth that could possibly work out. By the way, Ohio just canceled their state fair today. So, yeah, I just don't even know how you could potentially even hold a state fair, even with social distancing procedures. It's already so crowded.
No, it's packed like person to person. It's a giant pile of sweat and body fluids.
Could you imagine the lines like trying to get Sweet Martha cookies if we had to obey social distancing?
Oh,
how
yeah.
far that line would go?
Out to Bloomington?
Yeah, yeah. That line would like literally be going out to Bloomington if you were to if you were to have social distancing policies in place for the state fair. Yeah, there's really no way you can end up holding that. So expect that to be canceled. Their state fair board is meeting today, but no decision has been made quite yet. But I wouldn't be holding my breath on being able to go to the great Minnesota get-together this year. A little more news about a reopening, since we're kind of on that topic right now. The question is, does partially reopening your economy or entirely reopening your economy actually serve as a boon to employees and people and businesses? Well, the answer for the most part in some states that have reopened their economy is no. Take Georgia, for example. They were one of the early states to decide that we're pretty much going to go and open everything back up. Georgia just released their latest unemployment numbers, and they're not good, despite the fact that the state has been opened for a number of weeks. So here are the numbers out of Georgia, which again, reopened. One of the first states to reopen, I should say. Weekly applications for jobless benefits in the state of Georgia now lead the country in terms of the proportion of its workforce that are seeking unemployment assistance. So in the state of Georgia, a staggering, get this, 40.3% of the state's workers, that would be 2 out of every 5, have already filed for unemployment insurance since the coronavirus pandemic. And that's despite the fact that Georgia was one of the first states to reopen. So that goes to show that even though you can reopen businesses and reopen the economy, it's no guarantee that people are still going to patronize businesses. And it really comes down to it being a demand problem. Yeah, you can certainly provide the supply by reopening businesses, but if there's no demand, people are still going to be in tough shape, as evidenced by Georgia.
It is kind of a feedback loop. You know, people need extra spending money to buy stuff.
And that, yeah.
They lose their job. They don't have that. So more people lose their job because the businesses are shutting down.
Exactly. And that's probably exactly why, as we see in Georgia, even though they've reopened things, they still have 40.3% of their workforce that has already sought unemployment benefits. And by the way, speaking of unemployment in Minnesota, we have the latest numbers. Our unemployment rate is now at 8.1%, the highest figure we've had since 1983 when it hit 8.9%. And they note in this release from the Minnesota Workforce Department that it still probably doesn't even include all the people who are currently unemployed, as the data came from a survey conducted in the middle of April.
Well, and I think like Georgia, it's probably going to do worse than we will. But at the same time, I think it's maybe just ahead of the curve of everyone because they opened up early. Mm-hmm. A lot of these businesses that are probably not coming back at this point can just say, oh, we put everyone on furlough. When in reality, their business is probably over.
Yeah, you can say they're furloughed. Oh, we'll bring them back. But when's that point going to happen, if it even happens? Mm-hmm. Because a lot of places, as you said, are probably not going to reopen. You just can't survive being closed for 9 months or a year. Or not even just being closed, but just not having demand for whatever it is you're selling. That's probably a better way to put it. Because like I said, you can reopen all these businesses all you want, but if there's no demand for your product or no demand for your service or little demand for your product or service, it's still going to be awfully tough to get by. Let's head to the phone lines and talk to David in San Francisco. Hey, David, what's on your mind today?
Well, how are you, Brett? You know, California's unemployment rate, we're closing in on 25%. Oof.
Yeah, that is a brutal number, 25%. Wow.
We rule, man.
Yeah. We're number one, I guess, is what you can say.
Well, you know, in an epidemic, I don't know how many times I got to tell, you know, these hate radio types that, you know, an epidemic, you just ignore the money. You don't, you know, if you were on a sinking ship, you wouldn't fill your pockets with gold. And, you know, this idea that people are pretending that the, you know, that these numbers have any validity in an epidemic, you're talking about, you know, millions of people potentially dying. So, you know, there's the idea is that you put together a stipend, make sure that everybody just settles down, go home, read a bunch of good books, watch some good videos, just wait till the epidemic calms down. You don't be hustling. That's getting people killed. So mm-hmm. it's, you know, slow and steady wins the epidemic. The other thing I was going to raise, I was looking over at Michigan, and I was looking at their mortality rate. Yesterday, their mortality rate was 9%. You know, and you remember in the beginning of this, the mortality rate for the flu that they were trying to compare it to is 0.01. Mm-hmm. And the mortality rate in Michigan as of yesterday was 9%.
And let me even throw this out of you here, just to interrupt you here, David. Let's say that rate is even lower, because it potentially could be if we're not conducting enough tests. But even if we have twice as many people that have COVID-19 than what's being reported because of lack of testing, that's still an enormous number that is many, many, many times higher than the mortality rate for the flu.
Yeah, 900 times more deadly than the flu. And what's even worse is that was yesterday's number. You go over to I'll put it over on your Facebook page there. It's the new number today is 10%. So just that 1%, you know, bump from 9% to 10 is friggin', you know. And
when you're talking about hundreds of thousands of people infected, yeah, 1% is thousands of people.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and this isn't even kicking in for the 10% is the mortality rate. So their mortality rate yesterday was 9%. Today's mortality rate is 10% in Michigan. So it's friggin' bad. Mm-hmm. And these guys that are still hustling to get everybody out there working means that they're trying to get everybody hustling around, spreading the epidemic. Slow and steady wins the epidemic. Keep wiping it down. Keep doing the smart thing. Keep, you know, staying self-quarantined. I'll tell you, I'm in San Francisco. On February 4th, we discovered that our convention center had a sick guy walking around in it, you know, with COVID. The mayor didn't want to touch any lawsuits, so she shut down the convention, center. And so the next week, we were going to get the Facebook convention. The city of San Francisco lost $1 billion minimum for the next week by not having that show. The next week after that was going to be the game developers, video game developers, billions and billions of dollars. And that would have been a minimum in revenues for San Francisco of another billion. So we lost $2 billion by shutting down that convention center. It's still shut down, because we don't want to keep spreading it. But our death count, as of yesterday, 36 people. 36 people for San Francisco, because we shut down. And we're still self-quarantining, and we don't have a 9% death rate because we shut it down. And we are not going to listen to these hustlers that are saying, go out there and get a job. No, in an epidemic, you don't fool around, and especially one that's 900 times more deadly. You know what's sick about this? If you go to the Colorado statistics, they have Eagle County is one of the wealthier counties up there. Their mortality rate was 1.4%, which means it's 104 times more deadly than the 0.01 of the flu. 104 times more deadly. But they have some rural counties up there that were 18%. So that means it's 1,800 times more deadly than the flu. And these, you know, the rural counties. I was watching the South Dakota governors.
Just a couple more seconds here, David.
Yeah, well, South Dakota. Apparently, they've got a survey of the rate out there. They had a potential 24% infection rate 24% infection rate in South Dakota. That was considered one of the, you know, the bleaker, harder to hit, flyover country kind of areas, and their infection rate was said to be 24% just a couple of days ago. So don't listen to the money boys. Just stay at home, read a bunch of good books until everything settles down.
All right, appreciate the phone call there, David, and it's amazing as well how we don't seem to learn lessons from 1918. If you look at the cities and the areas that did best with the 1918 Spanish flu pandemic, those were the places that shut down and made sure people were staying safe versus ones like Philadelphia, which just opened everything back up. And
yeah, but
were,
did their robber barons personally enrich themselves greatly? That's what we were wondering about.
Yeah.
Like my take is, Elon Musk, you want to open your factory? Okay. You have to give all of your profits to the employees. You think you'd still be so eager to reopen?
Ooh, I am going to take that as probably a no. Tell you what, we're going to take a break. Come on back with more discussion here on FYI Politics with Brett Johnson.
Make the most of your time at home during Warner Stellion's Grill Expo. Speak with our specialists online, by phone, or in store to choose from our huge selection of the highest rated gas, charcoal, and pellet grills at the lowest price of the year. Then relax and enjoy free assembly done right. Contact-free delivery to your patio or garage. Free haul away and 18 months interest-free financing. Our specialists will have you grilling in no time. Get the lowest price of the year and unmatched service from the grill specialists at Warner Stellion.
Next time on Philosophy Talk, comforting conversations.
In these troubling times, the arts and humanities are more important than ever.
So we spoke with some of our favorite Stanford colleagues in philosophy, literature, and music.
They told us how stories and songs provide comfort, connection, and a sense of common purpose.
Join us for the first of two episodes featuring comforting conversations. Next time on Philosophy Talk.
Philosophy Talk, every Sunday at 8 a.m. and again at 2 p.m. on AM 950.
Hey, it's Brett from FYI Politics, and I want to thank you for listening to AM 950. The advertisers you hear are what allows us to stay on the airwaves, and unfortunately, some of them are going to be going through some tough times with the coronavirus. So support our advertisers in any way you can, whether that's ordering takeout food from one of our Eat Local Minnesota restaurants, purchasing gift cards, or just contacting them and telling them thanks for supporting AM 950. Even the littlest thing you can do can go a long way. Find a full list of our advertisers at am950radio.com. And thanks for listening.
As an essential business, Standard Heating and Air Conditioning is here to help you with all your heating and cooling needs. They've also got a great deal to get you ready for summer. During May, you can save $1,900 or more on a new furnace and air conditioner, and also have payments as low as $83 a month. Or ask about their 0% financing option. Find out more about these great deals at standardheating.com/AM950. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, the comfort you deserve since 1930.
Is your remote workforce putting your company at risk? Cyber criminals are targeting your employees with COVID-19-inspired emails and attacking businesses like yours. Hi, Mark Sommerfeld from Rimark. Rimark has the tools and expertise to enable your employees to work securely from home. If you need help getting your staff to work remotely and securely, call 651-328-8900 or go to RimarkIT.com. That's 651-328-8900 or RimarkIT.com.
This is Ellie Krug from Ellie 2.0 Radio on Mondays from 7 to 8 a.m. Many listeners know that I founded Human Inspiration Works, LLC, which trains on human inclusivity and on how to be welcoming to diverse humans. Today, organizations of all sizes find that they need to train team members on diversity and inclusion. I can do that. Many say that my trainings change the way they see the world. I'd love to help make your organization more welcoming. For more information, go to humaninspirationworks.com. Thank you.
So this still seems low to me, but Bloomberg is reporting that 1 in 5 Americans who have filed for unemployment benefits have not received any of those benefits yet. I would think that number would still be quite a bit higher than that, at least from people I've been talking to. But even if that number is true, that 1 in 5 American workers who have filed for unemployment and have not received their benefits yet, that is still a very bad, bad number. But I still think it's got to be a lot higher than that.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of gave up, I guess, because I submitted numerous things.
Oh, that's right. You were talking about this, yeah.
I haven't tried again, so.
You've actually given up on it?
I mean, not officially. I'll probably try again. Yeah. I just haven't Well,
so what's been the holdup on your end in terms of trying to apply for these? Has it been like a website crashing or just not getting responses to the forms you're filling out? Or
essentially, yeah, the phone lines are busy. When I fill out forms online, I just never get a response.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it sounds like you kind of have to get someone on the phone to get anywhere with it.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure those agencies are probably very short-staffed, so you'll probably get that message that says, your call is very important to us. The next available operator will be with you in 1 hour, 45 minutes, or something like that.
Yeah, and then it randomly hangs up after like an hour and a half.
Oh, that's got to be the worst thing ever, yeah, when the thing actually does hang up. That happened to me when I was trying to apply for health insurance with MnSure, I think it was the first year or two that happened where, yeah, I was on hold for like a good 70 or 75 minutes. They kept letting me know where I was in line. Then all of a sudden, click, disconnected. About wanted to throw my phone across the room.
Oh, yeah. It's not fun.
Yeah, exactly. Well, how about this news to put us in at least a little bit of a better mood? Well, at least if you live in New Zealand. Their very popular Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern, has proposed moving the country to a four-day work week. What a novel idea, moving to a four-day work week. That is her idea. There's no chance any politician in the United States, whether a Democrat or a Republican, would even entertain the idea of moving to a four-day work week. If anything, they would be saying, well, maybe we should have a six-day work week.
Yeah, I mean, so much of our culture is based in, like, the puritanical, like, well, working hard makes you a good person.
And there's been several like documentaries and news programs that have shown that if you move to a four-day work week, you'll do just fine. Since in essence, a lot of people, when they spend time at work, end up doing tasks that aren't really very productive, where they could do a full day's worth of work in about half the time. I'm just going off the top of my head right here. It might not be quite half the time, but it is something like that, where we do end up spending an inordinate amount of time on work because that's just been built into our culture that we need to work hard, whether it's productive work or not. All right, we'll take another break and come on back because I got to talk about Nancy Pelosi. There is a rebellion against her within the Democratic caucus, and it's not the progressives rebelling against her. It's actually a few moderates. We're going to talk about that coming up next and more here on FYI Politics.
Are your remote workers putting your company at risk? Not sure what steps to take to secure your data? Hi, Mark Sommerfeld from Rimark. The Rimark team is guiding our clients through these difficult times. In fact, demand has been so high, we created an easy-to-follow guide with the 5 steps to securely work from home. It's yours free. Download our 5 steps to securely work from home now at RimarkIT.com or call 651-328-8900 for a no-cost how-to discussion.
Hey, it's Brett from FYI Politics. We appreciate you listening to AM 950 and promoting Minnesota's only progressive talk station. We also want to remind you how important it is to support our advertisers amid the coronavirus outbreak. The advertisements you hear on AM 950 are what allows us to stay on the airwaves and bring you the best in progressive talk radio. We're not funded through some giant parent company. We're an independent, locally owned business that relies on the local advertisers you hear. Unfortunately, many of those advertisers are going to be hit hard by the coronavirus closures. So please, support our advertisers in any way that you can. Whether that's ordering some delicious takeout food from one of our Eat Local Minnesota restaurants, purchasing gift cards, or even just contacting them and telling them thanks for supporting AM 950. We know times are tough, so even the littlest thing you can do can go a long way to help. Find a full list of our advertisers at am950radio.com. That's am950radio.com. And thanks for listening.
At Rudy Luther Toyota, the health and safety of their customers and employees is the top priority. They continue to take extreme precautions to keep everyone safe. Like many businesses in Minnesota, Rudy Luther Toyota is starting to move forward. They have a huge selection of new and certified used Toyotas, and Toyota has announced 0% APR financing for up to 60 months for qualified buyers on several of their most popular models, like my favorite, the new RAV4. You can even take up to 90 days to make your first payment. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 west of Minneapolis, and online at rudyluther.com. Hi, everyone. Matt McNeil here. You might recognize my son, Charlie.
Hi, everyone.
Coronavirus has impacted us in many ways, but we at AM 950 wanted to take time to recognize a group of people who are experiencing this crisis in a very different way, high school and college graduates.
I'm a member of the Hopkins High School class of 2020. Many in my grade were looking forward to ending out our senior year with a graduation ceremony. Unfortunately, all of the traditional events won't take place for my class.
Funny, they managed to get all the testing and finals in.
Yeah, all the fun stuff. Anyway, we understand no one can plan for a pandemic, and you have to make sacrifices for the common good. Considering many people are having a much harder time, the class of 2020 will manage. We'll miss the graduation experience, but we'll share this time as we head into the next chapter of our lives. Oh, and by the way, go Gophers.
On behalf of everyone at AM 950, a big salute to all the graduates for 2020. We know this isn't how you envisioned this happening, but just because there's no grand ceremony doesn't mean we're not proud. You've accomplished so much. All our best as you take the next steps in your journey. Congratulations from AM 950.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Today, cloudy skies with a high of 74. Tonight, cloudy once again with a low of 60. Friday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms with a high of 75 and a low of 61. While Saturday will be sunny with a high of 81 and a low of 61. With the state having closed bars and restaurants for dining in, it's especially important that you support our Eat Local Minnesota restaurants, featuring high-quality local foods, unique dishes, vegetarian options, and so much more. These restaurants are locally owned, so the money you spend stays local. Find all the restaurants offering takeout at eatlocalminnesota.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. You're back on FYI Politics with Brett Johnson. So I want to talk about what's happening in the House of Representatives now at the federal level with Nancy Pelosi, because often the trope we hear is that it's Nancy Pelosi versus the progressive Democrats constantly clashing heads on what type of legislation they'd like to see passed or what direction the House should go. But recently, there have been a few moderate Democrats who have been rebelling against Nancy Pelosi. So before we get to that, let's get to some background on this. So Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, typically caters to this group of 42 Democrats that they consider frontliners. These would be the most likely Democrats to possibly lose re-election. It's the 42 most vulnerable Democrats. So keep that in mind. We have 42 of these so-called frontliners that Pelosi considers to be the most important representatives, since she typically caters legislation towards them, according to The Intercept, who, by the way, is writing on this. But what's been interesting with what's been happening in the House is that there's this Washington State Congresswoman, Pamela Jayapal, who, by the way, she's very much on the progressive side. So she's not one of these 42 frontliners. She's very much on the progressive side of the aisle. She has been proposing this bill that is called, the Paycheck Recovery Act. And what the Paycheck Recovery Act would do would be something that, well, pretty much every other Western democracy has done so far, in which it would subsidize private company payrolls in order to keep people employed during the pandemic. So that's within her legislation. Now, she put this into the original CARES Act, but it was taken out by Nancy Pelosi because, according to The Intercept, it didn't have any Republican support. That was Pelosi's justification for taking out that provision. Well, again, Representative Pramila Jayapal has put this legislation through again, but this time she has 93 other members signed on, including 10 of these so-called frontliners within the Democratic Party. And what's significant is that these 42 frontliners are generally all very moderate Democrats. They're not from the progressive side of the aisle. So it's something interesting to kind of watch to see what happens, because typically these 42 frontliners pretty much kind of get whatever they want from Nancy Pelosi for the most part, yet we have 10 that look like they're actually rebelling against her. So this will be kind of interesting to watch as time goes on, since they already have 93 people who have signed onto this bill. Now, speaking of Congress, I got to get to this. A couple of crazy Republicans that are running for election this fall that, by the way, have a good chance of possibly winning. We're going to start off on the Senate side. So last night, Oregon held a primary to determine on the Republican side who is going to be challenging Democratic Oregon Senator Jeff Merkley. And the winner of the race was a woman by the name of Jo Ray Perkins, who is very much a supporter and unabashed follower of QAnon conspiracy theories. I love QAnon, by the way. It's fascinating to follow along with those guys. Eric, do you follow along with Q at all and try to keep up with who Q is?
It's bizarre because it's kind of like the Nostradamus thing where it's just incredibly vague predictions. And they go, look, this is it. This is it. Donald Trump saved us from the Great Awakening, whatever,
It's like the Da Vinci Code, but much dumber, essentially, is how QAnon works, because essentially it's a conspiracy theory that claims that either Trump is Q or there's someone working within the administration that's Q that has all of this inside information that all of a sudden is going to come out and prove that.
And Trump, choosing to release it in these weird cryptic poems.
Yeah, the weird cryptic poems are the worst thing whatsoever. I kind of wonder if most of the people who follow Q don't actually believe the thing. They just are doing it more for entertainment purposes.
Probably the majority of people who are aware of it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if, like, but yeah, there's definitely people who do take it seriously.
And this person running now, the Republican nominee for Senate in Oregon, Joe Ray Perkins, is apparently one of them, as she has made this a pretty prominent part of her campaign, saying back in a January video that there is very strong probabilities and possibilities that Q is a real group of people, military intelligence, working with President Trump. She seems to be a little confused, though. She can't quite determine if Q is someone working within the Trump administration or whether Donald Trump is Q himself. So this is the Republican nominee for Senate in Oregon, Joe Ray Perkins. And I highlight this because that's a very serious candidate. That is someone that has the Republican nomination running for a statewide office. That would be the U.S. Senate. That's significant. It's not just me going and finding some random person running for the legislature in a random state that has no chance of winning whatsoever. Again, that's the Republican nominee for U.S. Senate. Now, on the House side, we have perhaps an even more terrifying candidate and someone who has a very legitimate chance of winning. This would be a Republican House candidate who goes by the name of, let me find his full name here because they abbreviate it a little bit, Ted Housey. Ted Housey is running for the House in District 10 for Congress out in California. And he has quite the controversial history on social media, where he has demeaned Muslim and compared dreamers to pedophiles, among other things. And he is the Republican nominee for Congress in California's District 10. Among some of the social media posts he's made, or is alleged to have made, because we'll get to that in just one second, are that Housey has accused the Clintons of leaving a trail of bodies as long as the Mississippi River behind them. He compared recipients of the Obama-era Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, also known as Dreamers, to pedophiles. He also, when addressing Black Lives Matter, said that as a culture, 95% of you vote in lockstep for the same political party who held you as physical slaves and now wish to keep you as political slaves under any effect on that would affect real change. Well, a bunch of word salad there. We'll skip over to the next one. He also went on to claim that the Orlando Pulse nightclub shooting back in 2016 was an inside job, as he says the FBI was ordered by the Obama administration to lay off the Muslims. So this is your Republican House candidate in California District 10. Now, what makes him interesting is that he's now claiming he never made these social media posts. It was someone who either hacked into his account or someone who he gave access to the account that was making these posts. But keep in mind, upon further investigation, these date back to 2016.
Yeah, someone's playing a long con with this guy.
Yeah, so you would think even if you gave access to your Facebook page to manage your account, you would probably notice that there would be suspicious posts that would have been put under your account over the past 4 years. And by the way, who would let someone manage your personal Facebook page? I can understand, like, maybe
hey, Brett, you want to take over my Facebook page?
Yeah, and if you were to start posting conspiracy theories, I would probably say, Eric, I don't think I want you managing my personal Facebook page, by the way. I can't really think of anyone who would let another person manage their personal Facebook page.
Maybe your spouse? I can't imagine anyone else. Even that's weird.
Yeah, even that's just weird. Okay, now the reason, again, why I'm bringing this up, I'm not just doing this because, oh, it's fun to talk about Republicans who are crazy, who are running for office. The reason I'm bringing up the case of Joe Ray Perkins running for Senate in Oregon and this guy Ted Housey, who is running for Congress in California, is that they both have a very realistic chance of winning this fall, especially Ted Housey. Now, the reason why is that he is in California's 10th district, which is located in the central part of the state. And it's currently represented by a guy named Josh Harder, who's a Democrat, who only won the seat by a 52-47 margin in 2018. In fact, in 2016, it used to be a Republican seat, as the old Republican representative won it by a 52-48 margin. So, yeah, while it's fun to kind of laugh at some of these candidates out here, do keep in mind, this guy Housie has a very, very real chance of actually getting into Congress. It's not me going and picking the craziest person I can find, like a Danielle Stella, who has no chance of ever getting into Congress.
I think people miss, maybe don't take it seriously enough, how disconnected with reality a lot of these Republican base are.
Mm-hmm.
And beyond Fox News' conspiracies, you have to look at like the Facebook group posts where it's like, oh, Obama's a gay Muslim prostitute. Like, that's a common theme,
yet, actually.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, but something along those lines. Yeah.
Well, that's a very common conspiracy, that he's a gay Muslim prostitute who works in bathhouses.
I didn't hear the prostitute part. I've heard gay Muslim before,
dig in farther.
Oh, man, I imagine those are probably some of the same people who are on board with QAnon. But again, I'm bringing this up. These two people, this Senate candidate, Joe Ray Perkins, and this California guy, Ted Housie, both have a very legitimate chance of winning. Housie especially, being that it's a very competitive seat, and, well, Joe Ray Perkins, just because it's a U.S. Senate seat. Even though Oregon is traditionally a blue state, you still never know sometimes with those U.S. Senate races. We'll get to phone calls in just one second, but did want to respond to an email I got this morning. This was an email from Cheryl, who was mentioning how last week I was talking about a number of Senate races where Democrats might have a chance to flip those seats to Republicans, and she just wanted me to give a rundown of some of these races and some of these candidates that are running. So go ahead and do that right now. There's about seven of them that I'm watching very closely. In Colorado, it's John Hickenlooper, the current governor of Colorado, who is running against the Republican Cory Gardner. He's the current incumbent. In Maine, it's Susan Collins, everyone's favorite Republican, who is getting a challenge from, well, at least the likely nominee, Sarah Gideon. There's still a primary there, but she's a very heavy favorite to end up as the Democratic nominee. In Arizona, you have Mark Kelly, husband of Gabby Giffords, who is trying to unseat Republican Martha McSally, who, by the way, lost a Senate race in 2018. In Montana, you have the current Democratic governor, Steve Bullock, challenging Republican incumbent Steve Daines. In Georgia, you have Kelly Loeffler, who is the Republican who holds the seat right now but is facing a primary challenge from a guy by the named Doug Collins, who is very much a favorite of a lot of far-right conservatives. But Loeffler, if you're not quite familiar or want to jog your memory, she's the person that's been accused of insider trading, where she basically sold a bunch of healthcare-related stocks just before the pandemic occurred. And by the way, her husband just donated $1 million to a Trump super PAC. So she's certainly a very wonderful person. So she is going to be running for re-election if she even gets the nomination. And there's a whole bunch of Democrats running for that seat, so go ahead and look that up if you'd like to make a donation, since Cheryl was asking about this. A couple more races to watch. North Carolina, you have Democrat Cal Cunningham challenging the incumbent Tom Tillis. And in Iowa, you have Joni Ernst. Remember the pig squealer from 2014, where she had this really odd political ad that really gave her a lot of national prominence that involved squealing pigs. She's running for re-election against there's basically two Democrats that have a chance to get the nomination. One is someone by the name of Teresa Greenfield, who ran for Congress in 18 but didn't get the nomination in her local race. And then businessman Eddie Morrow. Amazing how many businessmen just end up being able to run for Congress, whether it's Democrat or a Republican. I'm
funny
a businessman, therefore I'm qualified to run for Congress. What do you say there, Eric?
It's funny how that works. They just put in those hard hours in the business minds.
Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, I'm qualified to run for Congress. So there's a rundown there of those seven Senate races I'm at least watching this fall. And I've alluded to this before, but those are the races I'm going to be watching much more closely than the presidential election. In fact, I would argue they are much more important than the presidential election, since Congress really has a much bigger impact on your life than the presidency. And then, if you add into the fact with the presidency that as soon as your party takes over the Oval Office, you're guaranteed to lose a whole bunch of seats at both the federal and the state, and also the local level, the more and more their term continues. This has been a trend for every president since Ronald Reagan. In fact, it might even go back further than that. I'm going to look up some numbers on this. I've been trying to do my research on this, but If you look at every single president, basically since Ronald Reagan, as soon as they were elected, their party just got hammered down on the down ballot races as time went on, whether it's at the congressional level, the state legislator level, or in governorships, or even at the local level. It's a guarantee your party is going to get absolutely destroyed. It's this weird phenomenon where people rebel against the party that they perceive as being in power. So that's why I would say the Senate is really the key I would be watching if I were someone who is supporting the Democrats, because, yeah, let's say you get Joe Biden in the White House. Well, as soon as you get a Joe Biden in the White House, it's a guarantee that the Democratic Party is going to lose seats as elections go on. And if you don't even have the Senate, you're not going to be able to get much legislation passed.
That's why I'm a little hesitant to say it, but like, do we want to waste our chance with Biden? You know, we don't have a lot of shots at it.
Yeah, I'm not even talking about it from whether I like Biden as a centrist or a progressive. It's just a fact of life. This has been true for every single president, whether Republican or Democrat, since the Reagan years. And it's even happened to Donald Trump. Republicans have lost a ton of seats in Congress and also in state legislatures since he's been elected. It's been this weird phenomenon in American politics. So, Eric, you make a very valid point, and even regardless of whether you like Biden's politics, it's a legitimate question to ask, because no president has been able to break this trend where they lose a whole bunch of seats, their party loses a whole bunch of seats once they're elected to office. And that's significant because what has a bigger impact on your everyday life is what happens in Congress and the state legislature. Very little impact on your day-to-day life actually comes from the White House. Of course, they have a little impact, but not nearly as much as what happens in Congress or the state legislature.
It's much more like the cultural surroundings in the country.
Yeah, it's just the perception that the president is a very important figure when, in essence, they're not really all that important. They don't have that big of an impact. Hey, Mark, on the phone lines, hang on. We're going to get to you for the final segment, so stick around, stay on hold. Hopefully we won't be racking up your phone bill too much, but we'll get your call coming up here in the last segment of FYI Politics.
The independently owned Next Chapter Booksellers is still open and there to help you find just about any book imaginable. But did you know Next Chapter Booksellers sells more than just books? They also have a wide variety of cards and puzzles that are perfect for these times when we're stuck inside. They have free home delivery within St. Paul for orders over $50 and free mail shipments within the U.S. for orders over $50. Open daily by phone from 10 till 3, call 651-225-8989 or visit nextchapterbooksellers.com.
Hi, this is Laura. These are indeed confusing times. So much of our life, education, business, meetings have moved online, yet not everyone has internet access. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, is here for everyone. Radio reaches people without internet. In fact, radio reaches more Americans than any other platform. 92% of U.S. adults listen to radio every week. Radio connects. If you know some organization, maybe a religious or civic group, seeking to engage and knows that a Zoom call costs money and does not reach everyone, consider a taped or live broadcast on AM 950. Perhaps a virtual not-so-silent auction, recovery support, spiritual support, business networking, poetry slam. If you want to learn more about creating a live or taped message on AM 950, call 952-946-8885 or email Laura at am950radio.com. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, here for everyone.
The Minnesota Army National Guard salutes the high school graduating class of 2020. We recognize all of your hard work and the resilience you've demonstrated during this historic time for our country. Those are the traits of a great citizen soldier. You can continue to stand out and be a leader in your community as a soldier in the Minnesota Army National Guard. Learn more about the benefits of part-time service in the Army National Guard at NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
All right, since I teased this at the top of the show, got to get to this right now. NASA scientists think they have proof that a parallel universe actually exists. These would be NASA scientists in Antarctica who were detecting the existence of a parallel universe where time apparently runs backwards. there was a series of experiments with NASA's Antarctic Impulsive Transient Antenna, known as ANITA, that made the conclusion after looking closely at the paths of neutrino particles, as the scientists reportedly saw the particles moving in impossible ways, and they decided that the simplest explanation was that the particles were coming from another universe.
Yeah, duh. That's what I always say.
So you're on board thinking that there is a parallel universe that exists.
Yeah, I was saying that about the neutrinos long ago, you know?
You were always on board with the neutrinos.
Yeah, it's obvious.
You were a neutrino truther.
Mm-hmm.
All right, sounds good. All right, let's go to Mark in Fridley, who's been waiting on the phone lines forever. Mark, got about 2 minutes for you. What are you thinking about today?
Yeah, I had neutrinos for breakfast this morning. Also, while everybody was sleeping, the Pentagon and the Defense Department admitted the existence of unidentified aerial phenomena of what we would call UFOs. Mm-hmm. So that was basically the Pentagon coming out admitting there is technology out there that we don't understand. But I want to get back to what you were just saying. And, you know, this is Nancy Pelosi and Mitch McConnell. And you have to look at the scientific method of cause and effect or pattern recognition. Why don't these people and or their parties get elected? Because a politician will say anything to get elected and turn around and do exactly the opposite. And that's what Elizabeth Warren the other day grilled Secretary of Treasury Mnuchin. And part of her attack, legitimate, was that all of the COVID money, which is in excess of $9 trillion that are, they say, is on the books, it exceeds that, that went to the banks, has no terms or conditions, no oversight or transparency. And when Elizabeth Warren questioned Mnuchin about that, his response was, well, we met with leaders of the Democratic Party, and that this is what they agreed to. So they're in compliance. So it was the Pelosi's and the Schumer's and those people that are embedded that constantly sell us out. And here Elizabeth Warren was actually trying to do her job and point it out. And Mnuchin basically said, it doesn't matter who you vote for. There's an embedded group of people here that are going to call the shots. And when he said, in fact, that, listen, Elizabeth, we met with all of your leaderships and they agreed with all of this. So the Democratic Party leadership agreed no oversight, no transparency, no terms and conditions to these people that we bailed out. And here's what I was just to people. Go back and watch the 2015 movie, The Big Short, because if you didn't see it, we're living it all over again.
All right, Mark, we're going to have to leave it there as we are just about out of time. But I think even what Mark's talking about probably explains that phenomenon that's just been happening in American politics, where as soon as a president is elected, their party gets absolutely trounced. I'll try to get you those specific numbers coming up next week. Final story of the day. Gosh, I hope this happens. Remember Zachariah Moussaoui, the only guy convicted over 9/11? He has made a request for new attorneys, and the only two attorneys he wants to represent him are either Rudy Giuliani or Alan Dershowitz. Please, let's make that happen. All right, that's all the time I got for today. Matt McNeil is coming up next.